In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory.
Today is the Sunday after the Feast of the Exaltation of the Cross. And if you recall, last Sunday we preached on the cross, and we talked about the word of the cross, what its meaning, what the content of it is, what it means if we wear it, if we believe in it, if we exalt it, if we venerate it. And we pointed to the words of St. Paul from the epistle, 1 Corinthians. Paul says, the word of the cross, in other words, the gospel of this crucified Messiah, is a stumbling block to the Jews and a folly to the Gentiles. In other words, the whole world resisted it. Jews, because it was scandalous. Gentiles, because it was illogical, didn't make sense to their system of thinking. And that's true today. That's true today, beloved in Christ. Still as much as it was probably when Paul wrote those words to the church in Corinth. I recall just about 6 or 7 months ago, here in this city, I was asked to engage in a Jewish-Christian dialogue. And they wanted to know what our traditions were surrounding Pascha. And the Jewish faith was there represented, and they were going to share with us their traditions with Passover. It was kind of a interreligious dialogue, so we all learn from each other and are built up that way. So we heard about Jewish Passover and the things that they celebrate and the things that they eat and why they do it and what it all means. And I spoke about our faith. I spoke about Jesus Christ. And in order to talk about Pascha, which is the greatest feast of the church, it's totally central to our understanding of everything, you know, you have to really get down to the nitty-gritty, so to speak. Who is our God? What has He been doing all along since the beginning? How has this all come to a culmination in Jesus? Who is Jesus? What does His death mean? He has to be this Messiah. And the cross, His crucifixion, His burial, and His resurrection was God's plan all along. You know, I gave them all this to help them to understand where we're coming from, why this is such a big deal to us. And they didn't like it. As a whole, this group of Christians and non-Christians, a big mix, they got defensive. Why? What do you mean? And one man raised his hand, and he said, you mean to tell me, isn't there one thing in your faith that is beautiful and good that we can point to and look at and accept apart from this man having to die? Isn't there other things to talk about? And I was very thankful at that moment, because thank God, it's one of those moments you don't think is going to come along, but there was only one answer, and I had to give it, and it was an emphatic no. No. There's no faith without Jesus Christ. And there's no Jesus Christ without the cross. An ordinary man just didn't come into the world and teach some good things and share wisdom and then happen to suffer and people felt sorry. That's not what happened. Everything we believe about life, about God, about reality as Christians, is centered on Jesus. And not just Jesus, but Jesus crucified. You can't have a Jesus who is not crucified. I was being asked, effectively, the question that I think our society wants to ask and wants to act on. Can't we just remove the scandal of the cross? You know, can't we just love one another, which is a good thing to do? Can't we just recognize each other? Can't we just pat each other on the back and say, I'm okay, you're okay, and take that down? Emphatically, undeniably, no, because it's not what our faith is. Our faith is this right here. It's Jesus Christ on the cross. Still a stumbling block today. Still something that people, even Christians, have a hard time accepting. Why does it have to be that way? And we hear outside of the churches, if you've ever been approached, I know I was even recently, and sometimes people are well-meaning. We hear this among evangelicals. You know, they might stop you somewhere in public and say, "Are you saved? Are you saved?" And if you're like me, you have to stop and think. And sometimes they want you to be 100% sure that you're going to heaven. And if you're not sure, they want to decide that moment in that circumstance. Maybe they want you to say something or read a Bible passage. They want you to give your life to Jesus Christ that moment and guarantee your salvation. But as the church, you know, we don't understand salvation in those exact terms. We preach it, and it has always been taught in a slightly different way. I think a lot of people understand Jesus, and they know that they have to somehow get to Him. They know even that the cross is important. Even if we accept the cross, you know, they might accept Jesus' cross, but not mine. This first line of the gospel today, the Lord said, "If any man would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." That's part and parcel of the gospel message. We can't just somehow accept Jesus and then deny our own cross. I am not saved yet. Even the holiest of saints, when they got to the end, there's one in particular whose name escapes me, but they were all his disciples were surrounding him. He was on his deathbed. They thought he was catching a glimpse of heaven. And they said, "Father, Father, what do you see? How is it?" And he said, "I have not even begun to repent. I have so far to go." And here he was on his deathbed. We are like that too. I am like that, number one. I may not be saved, but I am being saved. I am being saved today and tomorrow and the next day. And my being saved is something that was taken on at my baptism. You know, and we shouldn't ridicule evangelicals who think they are saved the moment they open up the Bible and say, "I belong to Jesus Christ." Because a lot of the Orthodox, we think we're saved the moment we're baptized and dropped into the water. And it's sealed and it's a done deal. But it's a process. It begins with our baptism. Begins with our death with Jesus in the water. That's what that represents. And then it's an ongoing struggle every day of our life. If we would come after Jesus, let us deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. That's what He's telling His disciples today. That core of our Christian faith, very central to the teaching, and often overlooked, neglected, conveniently forgotten, dismissed, you know. You ever hear people say, "Well, Jesus already died and suffered. I don't have to suffer." That's only half right. Jesus did suffer. He took on our sins. But we still have to suffer in this world. And that's what we know. And that's what we accept. So we're to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow after the Lord. There's one other thing we have to be careful to acknowledge in today's gospel. And it has to do with these words here. When Jesus says, "Whoever saves his life will lose it." And we understand that to mean if we're clinging to the things of the world, if we're trying to exert too much control over our lives and preserve what we have in this world, we will lose our eternal life because we're going to get bogged down in the things of the world and feeding ourselves and making ourselves content and happy in this life. And the other side of that, whoever loses his life will save it, but don't forget what comes in the middle. For my sake and the gospel's. For my sake and the gospel's. If we believe, and this is what we believe, just to say it again, we are justified by faith in Jesus Christ, just as Paul says in Galatians today. That's how we are justified, not by works of the law. Jesus didn't come and die because we were good people. He came while we were dead in our sins and sacrificed his life for us. Now we get to heaven by putting on Christ, by following after Him, denying ourselves, taking up our crosses, and following Him. So it's a lifelong process. It's a lifelong journey. It's a lifelong struggle. We try. We're baptized. We get that nice white garment. And even if we're not talking about children, if we're talking about adults especially, if you can imagine an adult being baptized, and then you can never sin again, or you stain your baptism garment. And what happens though? We sin. We fall. We soil our garment. And St. Paul tells us, just so we're not thinking God has failed us, no, Christ is not an agent of sin. It is we who are building up the things that we formerly denounced, our former life, our passions. So what do? We come to confession. We stay in the church. We recognize our faults. We say, I'm sorry. We pray. We put God in our life. And if we love God, we will obey Him. We will do His will. We will fulfill His word. And we know that that's love of the neighbor. That's charitable works to people in need. That is way back in the beginning of the Gospels and even in the Old Testament. If you have and somebody is lacking, give to the one who has. Right? That's the core. That's how we obey God. But we have to be careful, and here's what I want to point out, that we're doing it for the right reasons. It's not enough just to feed somebody who's hungry. It's not enough just to give money to the poor. It has to be done, first of all, in love, genuine love. And these things, the Holy Fathers warn us, can be done out of pride. They could be done out of some self-fulfillment. You know, it makes me feel good to give to other people. My name goes on a list. I'm recognized by such and such. Maybe we think the world's going to be a better place if we're all kind to one another. Maybe it will be. But is that the reason we should be doing it? No, we should be doing it out of genuine love. St. Paul warns in that famous passage from Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, we could have everything. We could have faith to move mountains. We could give up our bodies to be burned for what we believe in. But if we don't have love, it profits us nothing and we are nothing without love. Number one, love. And then it also has to be done in obedience to God and in imitation of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We can't be doing it to fulfill some other kind of idea of what's good and what's holy. It has to be done in imitation of Jesus, because He is our great example. In Jesus Christ, in the incarnation, in the cross, God came to earth and said, here is who I am. Here is who you should be. And He shows us exactly. If you ever wondered, or if anyone wanted to know, what is your God like? What does He do? How does He act? You don't even have to say anything. You just point. Take your cross out and show them. Show them a cross. Show them that. That's it in a nutshell. No other words can be spoken, because that says it all. So let us make sure, if we're responding to God, if we're accepting His salvation, God never fails. He's sure. I'm not sure I'm going to heaven because I'm a rotten sinner. That's why. Not because God doesn't fulfill His promises. It's because I fail to respond. I fail to keep my part. I fail to receive the gifts He is offering. But God is true, and God is without a doubt. I am being saved, hopefully, God willing, through the prayers of you, through the prayers of the saints, through the prayers of my parents and grandparents and all the people who are asking for my salvation. And it's the same with all of us. We are being saved together. But it's never a done deal, and we don't ever want to approach it like that. Whether it's, you know, opening up a Bible and saying, I believe, and reciting, for God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. That doesn't seal it. Neither does baptism in the water, because we know that the minute we get out of the water, it's life. It's the passions. It's our sins. So we need this ongoing nurturing, beloved in Christ. We need it. We need the prayers of the church. We need the sacraments. We need the teachings of the gospel. We need the life-giving body and blood of Jesus for the cleansing and remission of our sins. And we need each other. So as we come today to this Sunday after the elevation of the cross, just to solidify what the word is, you know, it's a word that's unspoken. It's a picture. It's an act. It's Jesus on the cross in response to love and obedience to the Father, and all of us looking at that and imitating it in obedience and love to the Word of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.